Oh my God, your poor dad.
Do you remember how to do this?
Welcome back to Your Poor Dad. You can't choose your sisters, but you can choose your podcast. So thank you for joining us and being the fourth rant sister.
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome.
But you thought you got rid of us, but you didn't.
Can't shake us.
We're just like sisters. Like, you can get in fights with your sisters, but like, they're still your sisters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, no matter what, at the end of the day, they're still your sisters.
Stuck with us. Just like we're stuck with each other.
Just like we were stuck with each other in Europe.
Yeah.
You guys slept in the same room every night.
Not every night.
No, one night we didn't.
One night we didn't.
One night I had to sleep in mom and dad's room,
which was also my room.
No, your room was not. Oh, wait. You're.
Yes.
Okay. The last time we saw you guys
was right
before Europe,
our trip,
because our last episode came out on, as Bailey let me know, 9/11, and we don't talk about 9/11.
No,
according to Mariah Carey.
According to Mariah Carey, actually, we all literally talk about 9/11 each year, and I don't think she knows that. But so we went to Europe. We have a lot to unpack here. So how do we want to go about this? Do you want to give up like updates? Do you want to talk about Europe?
I feel like there's so many things that have happened since the last time we recorded.
So should we just go in chronological order? So we went to Europe, and what happened to you right before we got to Europe?
Oh my God. It was a shit show from the very beginning, because Bailey and I, we had everything planned, whatever. We were supposed to go from Austin to Dallas and then fly with our parents. Jade was flying on her own, but we were all going to meet up, you know, in Germany. Okay. So the day that we are leaving, my dog Roman gets the craziest allergic reaction. I mean, like, overnight.
Like, his nipples were so puffy.
Nipples were puffy, just like you in like fifth grade. He had welts just all over his body, and I'm supposed to board him. My dogs rarely get boarded, maybe max for a weekend. This was going to be for 10 days, and I could not board him without some kind of medication. He has allergies. He's a Frenchie, so I'm trying to call his vet. Just, can you please call in a prescription so I can get it? They're like, no, he needs to be seen. Okay, I'm coming right now. Oh no, we don't have an appointment till 3. That does not work for me. Like, he's been there in the 2 months before that. He had been there 4 times.
Right.
So this is just not like,
you know him, call in the medication.
Call in the medication.
Oh, you want my dog to suffer?
And we know what works.
Right.
It worked last time. Just do it. So anyways, they're saying no. And I can promise you, I'm not going to put them on the blast, but they do not have my business anymore, because I was so distraught. We had a flight to get to. I go to 3 different places. I'm calling 12 places. One emergency vet was like, she felt for me. She's like, go here, Cedar Park. So it's way north.
I didn't know you had to go to Cedar Park. Cedar Park's like 30 to 40 minutes away.
It was way north, and they were unbelievable. They were so helpful. They cared about him so much. They gave me, I didn't realize how amazing they were. They even gave me a goodie bag as I was leaving, and inside the goodie bag was a bottle of wine, a new custom dog tag with his name on it, like all of these like things, whatever. They get him a shot, a steroid shot, all these things, medication, whatever. And I feel okay, drop him off, and we're getting close, like down to the wire for our flight, and we're freaking out. Smacky, you guys remember Smacky? She was so nice. She's like, drive your car. I will park in the closest parking lot. That's usually like 27, whatever, a night. She's like, we will come pick up your car.
Oh
so
my God,
I know.
So nice.
So they did that. We get there, and then our flight's delayed. And it gets delayed like 3 or 4 times. And by the third time, that's when, by the time it would arrive, our other flight would be leaving. Mm-hmm. And we're like, shit, what are we supposed to do? Mom, I don't know really how mom was able. She had to finesse several different flight connections for us, and she was somehow able to do it, because we were talking to the agents there, and they basically were like, can't help you.
She was like, beep boop on the computer, and she says, oh, this is weird. Don't know what that means. Oh, that's a train. It's like, okay, you're supposed to be guiding us. I can't go around and read your computer.
Oh, the agent was doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. They got us on the last, poor Bailey was about to kill me because she was hungry. And every time she would get in line for Chick-fil-A, I'm like, we got to go to the next place.
I truly was about to kill you because the first time it made sense. And we like got there in the nick of time. The second time, Paige is a very anxious flyer and it was already
anxious.
We already missed our thing. And now we're going to like fly to London to do whatever. Everything was up in the air. It was very stressful and I was starving. And I said, okay, well, now that we have our flight, we're going to start boarding. The flight's going to start boarding in 10 minutes. We're group 9. I'm going to get Chick-fil-A. I'm going to go get food. I can see the gate. Everything's fine. I start walking that way and Paige goes, Bailey! I can hear her yelling at me from down the hall. Oh my God,
you're psycho.
And I was like, what? And she said, we're going to board. And I was like, I'm starving to death. Like, this is going to be so much worse if I don't eat. And she was like, we're going to go to 7-Eleven. So I got as much food as I could. I got a cheesecake. I got a burrito. I got a
Lunchable. What the fuck?
From 7-Eleven. I don't know what I'm going to want. I'm about to get on like a 9-hour flight. I was starving. I hadn't eaten all day.
Okay, yes. So this was my bad. And I'm sorry for that. But here's what's worse. Because this was a flight that we weren't supposed to be on, Mom got us on, thank God. We were in the very, very, very last row in the middle. So it was a row.
We didn't know any of this at this point. I just wanted to eat.
So I know.
We
watched, I was past
you
that.
You wanted to watch all the so people
like,
get on
you
board.
Guys couldn't even like lean your chair no, back.
And the biggest problem was the way you're supposed to be able to put your stuff in the seat in front of you. For whatever reason, I'm guessing it's because it was the last row. Like not... There was 4 of us there, but there was only like 2 or 3
in
spots.
Front of you.
Yeah, so Bailey and I basically had to like sit with our feet like up the entire all 9 hours. And so we would take turns. Like I would lay my tray table out and Bailey would lay on it. And then she would lay her tray table out and then I would lay on it. And we did not get up one time.
What?
Like we did not get up to go to the bathroom because we were just so uncomfortable. It was gonna be,
there was like a man on either side of us. We couldn't like I brought my computer because I had so much work I needed to do and I couldn't like couldn't do anything with my little elbows.
So,
my elbows,
so that's just you guys, so that was just how it started.
You ended up getting to Salzburg. That's the main point.
Yes, thank God.
So I meet up with Mom and Dad in the airport in Frankfurt. And which should have been all 5 of us meeting up in the airport. And Dad is like literally like hunching over with this like huge backpack. And he's like, I had to get 2 bottles of Jack Daniel from Duty Free. And I was like, why? And he's like, because we can't get Jack Daniels in Austria. He was like freaking out. So I was like, okay. And then like he's pacing. He's so stressed. Like he was as stressed for Paige and you as Paige was. Mm-hmm. But like, there, but also Dad is kind of like, no offense, like useless in these kind of situations. Like he's not going like, to be the one to like be on the phone with the airline.
At least I stress, but I'm taking action.
Right.
Like he stresses and he's like,
and he doesn't know what to do. So it's like mom is like kind of like doing some like weird shit, trying to get to like some random Lufthansa desk. I'm like, I need a beer. And finally we like get to Austria. And it's gorgeous. Everything's okay. I don't think we need to get into the nitty-gritty of every single aspect of our trip. But our trip was Salzburg, Munich, Paris, home. And day 2 in Salzburg, Paige and I are like literally cats and fucking dogs fighting. Like we could not stop fighting for the life of us.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad. And
it was like every little thing that I have ever done to you in your life. Mixed with like all of this travel anxiety, it just like I was irritating you and then I was reacting.
Yeah, well, from my memory, I thought like Oktoberfest was like me doing that. Like I was
that's what I was talking about.
I was like, yeah. Like, we were going in.
No, we were like at Oktoberfest in drindels, which are just like traditional like German garb.
And we looked
like,
cute.
We looked cute and we started off the day so fun. We like did this drive through the German countryside. It was gorgeous. And then we're just like sitting there and like we were there the first day of Oktoberfest, so they didn't tap the keg until 12, but we had gotten there at like 9.
Yeah, and I honestly thought that we'd be able to have like other beer.
Right,
or like some other type of drink.
But we couldn't.
It was so no alcohol.
Sitting there stone cold fucking sober, which was our first mistake. We should have brought like roadies in the car or something. Honestly, that could have like been a good idea or a bad idea for you and I, but we're just sitting there eating these like terrible German meats. Like the gray meat that they served us. It was just and disgusting. And the rock hard
pretzels.
And the rock hard pretzels. Like, I thought this was your one job is to make like good pretzels. Like, you're fucking Germany. It was terrible food. And Paige is just like,
she's like, I'm glad we're here. We have a couple hours until the festivities start. And here are some grievances I'd like to bring everyone's attention.
Let me air my grievances. Let me tell you everything that you've done to bother me the last year.
Okay, it was really like one or two things.
But it was like one or two things, but like there was a thesis.
Like, what is it when you like are opening a wound and you want to like get everything out, like debriefing it?
To be completely fair, when I first brought it up, what I didn't realize was going to be your trigger is when I
call me the most judgmental person.
Yeah, when I said that you were like the most judgmental, I thought that was something that you knew. And so, because I was bringing up like the topic and I was like, yeah, I know you're the most judgmental person, but like you can't do this and this. And you were like, you seemed shocked that I would refer to you as a judgmental person. And I was like, wait,
well,
that's not the part that I thought was going to be the argument.
Here's the caveat. You said I was the most judgmental person you've ever met in regards to somebody's looks, which is just like categorically it's untrue. Like, I judge people's like decisions with their looks, like Taylor Swift's style. We'll get into that. Like people's haircuts, like things like that. But like, oh my God, his nose is disgusting. Like, I don't say shit like that.
I didn't say you did.
But that's like what it means. Like when you say people's looks, like you should say people's styles. Cause like a haircut is a style.
Okay.
Cause you can control a style choice. But
I said you were the most judgmental person.
Well, because I made fun of somebody's haircut.
Yeah, and that's
I just have a lot of opinions.
But like that specific topic isolated, like you, like your whole TikTok is basically like you judging like things and people. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, why I didn't think that was the thing that was going to like.
Well, because set you were saying I like make fun of every single person you've ever dated's looks.
You do.
No, I don't. Here comes Switzerland over here.
I could not be more Switzerland because IDK, because you said that about me too.
About that person.
Okay, yeah. Let's move on. So we're fighting over that. Then the next day.
I thought we were fine the next day.
No, the next day was when it was the worst day.
But only at nighttime.
No, the next day we were fine.
Yeah,
I thought we were covered. But then at night, we had just like had it with each other. Like I had it with you had it with me, and we had to be separated at dinner because we were screaming at each other in this restaurant in Salzburg. It's like this old restaurant that Mozart used to go to, and we were fighting over like what we were gonna order because I was being bossy and you like hate when I'm being bossy, and like everyone else is kind of being annoyed with me, but we were day drinking, so we were all just like kind of annoying. But then me and Paige start screaming at each other. And the mom is like so sensitive. She's like, oh my God, get over here. Like, I don't like watching my girls fight and blah, blah, blah.
And then dad kept saying, can I just eat with my wife?
And dad was wasted.
Can I just have a meal with my wife?
Dad didn't even know that Paige and I had a fight at the restaurant.
Like, dad heard it from me the next morning.
No, I know. But then he was like, I didn't know that was going on. I had no idea. I was like,
why do you think mom had to leave to go attend to you guys?
I know. And he was like, I'm not leaving without my wife. He kept saying my wife, and I'm like,
yeah, we get it, mom.
Do you mean my mom?
Yeah, like Sandy. Like everyone knows who you're talking about. You don't need to like double down.
You know that they thought that you were gonna flip the table. The waiter did.
No, he didn't.
Apparently he told mom or something that he was like, oh, that's like on TV, so like something like that. And I was like,
oh, that's actually my people.
Yeah. He thinks you're Teresa.
I know, but we had no food at the time, so it would have been fine if I flipped it.
Yeah.
It would have just been like water.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had to be separated, and then we kind of like steered clear of each other for like the rest of the trip for like a couple days. Luckily, this trip was so long and there were so many people on the trip. The trip, I was gone for 13 days. You guys were gone for 11. And we had at any point 12 to 13 people with us the entire trip. And we all stayed in the same house in Salzburg, Munich, and Paris. And that was like an experience.
Yeah. So for I actually, because
I think we're the problem.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily mind the people. What I really minded is the lack of thought of food. So it's like if we're going to be in a house with so many people, with 13 people, you have to have a game plan for like, we need to go to the market right when we get there to make sure that we have enough food for breakfasts and things like that. 13 people is a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that part was a little overlooked because the main thought was probably we'll get something when we're out, because most of the days, all of the days, we were gone the whole time, right? But the biggest problem that I had is that the food was just never a thought. And so it's like we would be out on these tours for like 7 hours or something.
For days.
For the entire day. And it's like it got to the point where anytime we would pass something, it's like, here's a, get a baguette here if you want. Yes, I want.
No,
because like, I don't know when I'm going to eat
it. It was like, we're running by this food store and like maybe you could, whatever you grab and go, like, it, like you didn't even have time to like look anywhere. Mm-hmm. So Munich honestly was like the sleeper hit for me. I did not expect to like Munich so much. I don't know why in my mind I just pictured like cold Russia, like communist, like terrible. You started World War II, like all this shit. But it was actually like a very nice, welcoming country, like city.
I think the Glockenspiel was so fucking cool. Like,
oh, the Glockenspiel is kind of like a cuckoo bird. Oh,
yeah,
clock, but like
so cool.
Massive scale because it's like at the top of a church.
Yeah, no, I loved Munich. I loved Austria. I loved Austria and Germany. I thought those were, well, every place we went was like so beautiful.
You did love Paris until you didn't.
You
were on a high.
Here's the thing. I still stand. I am really thankful that we did the Eiffel Tower. I loved the Eiffel Tower during the day and at nighttime.
Yeah.
And I loved being in Paris. But like, I did think, I was like, I love this environment. I loved the vibe. But I did think that it was way too much like New York or something. I think I was hoping that it was going to be a little more like special or something. Mm-hmm. It was still kind of like dirty and like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think also we didn't get to like explore like the cool parts of Paris because we were in all the touristy parts. So we got to Paris and we like flew it. It kind of was like a treacherous travel day when it really wasn't that far. Like it was a 2-hour flight and it was just kind
of like. Remember how like drugged up I was that day?
We were like, because Paige had to take, we like took this windy fucking cab ride from Munich to the airport, or from where we stayed in Munich to the airport. And then like, so we were all kind of like feeling sick. We had all kind of drank the night before. And then it just was kind of like a treacherous day. So we kind of lost a day
and
of like
mom and I have really bad motion sickness anyways.
Yeah. So then the next day was like our sightseeing day. And I didn't realize like until we got to Europe, how much fucking shit mom and Angie had packed in each day. Like at 8 a.m. they were like, okay, well, we're all going to go out.
Well, no, because the reason we didn't realize is because they would say, we're going to go tour Cinderella's castle. End of discussion. Yeah,
we're like, okay, check, that day's done.
And what that, no, but at first we didn't know that. And then it's like, oh, so what that means is we leave at 8 because we have to, you know, it takes 3 hours to get 6. There. And then we're there for, you know, it's just like a whole thing. So it's like, oh, so we're not just going to go tour Cinderella's castle.
Right. So the next day in Paris was like our own, your guys' only real full day in Paris. Really. Because we had a tour plan the next day that Paige and I didn't end up going on. So we get up. Everyone's like leaving the house at 8 a.m. We're like, oh, fuck. Like, we got to get ready. We leave the house. It's pouring rain. We're like having drinks. So all we had at this point in our belly was just like champagne and a croissant. And we go to the Eiffel Tower. It's kind of like not the best area of Paris. It's like kind of just like touristy. It's kind of just like blah. We go to the Eiffel Tower. We spend a lot of time there. That was pretty cool. Then we meet up with everyone, go drink some more. Oh, we're also drinking at the Eiffel Tower. And we like shove like a sandwich down our throats to kind of eat because we're just like, oh, like we'll just eat. But like little did we know that was going to be like the only food that we had that day. So then we go, we meet up with everyone because the guys didn't go. We have like more drinks. And then we go tour the catacombs, which is so fucking weird because it's literally bones like everywhere.
It was so cool though.
It was cool.
It was really cool. But like, I just didn't imagine us being able to like be in such direct contact with the bones. Like they weren't even behind any glass. It was just like bones.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be behind glass. We're
just breathing in whatever is like death. There.
Yeah.
We're breathing in death.
Remember when we like heard them then, like rustle? You could hear it was like just me and Jade. We were kind of trailing. We're listening to the guided tour. And so we're waiting. It's just us two. And then we hear like a rustling of the bones. And we're like,
well, it's just us two. And we're doing that thing where it's like, because we don't really like make up as sisters. It's kind of, we just like ease back into each other's lives. And at that point in the trip, we were like easing back into each other's lives, like being nice to each other. Like we used to when we were little, like, oh, Paige, look at this.
Wow, that's like a peace offering.
Paige, look at this bullet hole in the skull. It was like a peace offering. And then we go take a train to the Champs-Élysées, which is like the rodeo drive. And I lose my fucking mind.
Which is
my head started spinning
for you in those situations.
Oh, I was like, when I get to a point where like I am done with something, I cannot see straight. I cannot make a decision to save my mind. I'm like, I want to go here. No, I want to go here. I don't want you guys to come. No, I do want you to come. Like, I was like, I just need to eat. And my mom was like, well, we actually want to go see the Arc de Triomphe. And then it's too expensive to eat around here. And I was like,
that's the thing that drove me crazy. I was like, I don't care how much it costs. I want food.
Yeah.
I was really mad at Jade because I asked her before anything. I said, okay, I need you to be my ally. We're gonna like, I really want to like have a food memory here. Mm-hmm. Like I want to just be able to like pop into a place. We can break off. We're adults. Like, let's like be able, like, let's be flexible. Like they keep saying that we can break off if we want to.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, Jade, this is your time. Do you want to like go get something to eat? And Jade was like,
think straight.
I don't know. Like all 11 pairs of eyes like turned to us.
And it was just
like, Jade was like, I don't care.
Well, so it is rare for Jade to be the one that gets hangry. And so she was there. And but she also, you were really upset about your pants situation. And so I'm like, okay, you're going to go to, was it H&M or Zara?
Zara.
You're going to go to Zara with mom. You're going to look at some pants and we're going to go take the pictures and then we're coming back and we're going to eat. And then we're going to eat.
Yeah. But then I'm like, mom's like breathing over my shoulder and Zara just following me around. No, mom was being a
fucking delight.
I know. But then she's just like following me around and I'm just like, okay, I gotta like get out of here. So anyways, that was that day. But then at night, Paige was like, hey, like I really want to see the Eiffel Tower all lit up.
And
like
sparkly.
And like sparkly and like blah, blah, blah. Like we've been on the metro all day. Like we've gone all over Paris all day on the metro. Like let's just go ride the metro. We already know how to get there. Let's go to the Eiffel Tower, take some pictures, have a glass of wine, and then go back. So we get there.
It's the only time it's just the three of us.
Literally, the entire trip. So we had like we split a bottle of wine. We had some escargot. It was like such a fun sister moment. We took some pictures by the Eiffel Tower. Like we saw it like light up and it was just really cute. So we're like, okay, let's go home. Let's go find a bar close to home. Let's like ride the wave. Then we're on the metro two stops before. And I can't stress this enough. Like we had our bags on, like we were on guard the entire time we were in Paris because we know how big of a pickpocket city it is. And so we're like, okay, like we have our shit on us, like phones in hand, shit on us. We're like getting closer to
about to get off the door.
We're right by the door because we're about to get off at our stop. And Paige has her phone out. And this guy comes around me, reaches around me, because I had my phone right here and mine was closer, but I think yours might have been just out more. He grabs her phone and like runs. And we like, I let out a little yelp. I was like, ah! And we're trying to open the doors. Bailey's trying to like hit the exit button. Like none of that fucking worked. So the guy's gone. And we're just sitting there stunned. Like I was so stunned. I was like, my brain only registered a phone is gone. And I looked down and I was like, oh, my phone's still here. So it must have been her phone.
And you were there.
And then Paige starts screaming at us. She's saying, find my iPhone. And we didn't know what to do. And like, we were actually live on Your Poor Dad's Instagram. So I go on my Instagram, and since it's such a lag, I'm screen recording the, because when I opened up the live, we were still live.
He's like, he just stole the phone.
But then, like, I screen record it, and then you could just see the phone get jostled and us be like, well, everyone on our live.
Which, by the way, so it's like my arms, like, out in the metro. Jade's like also trying to like open it. Bailey's literally pressing. Did it say like emergency open or emergency? Like it
emergency.
Said it so said okay. Emergency. So Bailey's pressing the button. None of that works. So if you guys are ever in that situation, the button doesn't work. So yeah. The doors are not gonna reopen. So that sucks.
Yeah. So that was pretty. That was not a great end to the trip because then we have to go back and we're like tracking Paige's phone and like Paige didn't remember her iCloud password right away. So she was like putting in other passwords. Then it like blocked her from
her. Well, I think it was because like between you were doing something and mom was doing something and I didn't know my password at first. And then mom was like, when I didn't know my password the first time, mom was like, okay, I'm going to lock your Apple ID down. Which like doesn't seem like a bad idea, except they were like, okay, your Apple ID will be locked out for 30 days. I was like, 30 days? That's insane.
Yeah. So we were kind of like just scrambling at that point because we didn't know what this person was going to do with Paige's phone. And so that was really scary. So we were up very, very late. It was like very jarring because it was like it's different when somebody like makes contact with you to steal your shit, like especially because we were warned so much about Paris, but like we were never warned that it was just going to get like taken out of your hand. So let that be known that that's the shitty thing about Paris. Paris is such like a magical city, but it is really, really fucking annoying. You have to be on guard at all times because people are just so shitty.
Yeah, it was really nice that one guy was like, oh, my God. I saw what happened. Like, can I help you? Whatever.
And it's like, well, we didn't trust him either.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I didn't trust him. But he was so, I think he was genuinely surprised that the, we went to the information desk. He is translating for us, English and French. Obviously, we don't speak French. And he was, I think he was jaded from the whole experience. He was thinking that the person was going to help us. And that person was like, okay.
He's like, yeah, welcome to fucking Paris. Gets stolen.
Well, yeah. And the next day when we were in a convenience store, the guy was like, oh, were you by the doors? Yeah, because we were about to get off. He's like, yep, that's, and it's very common that people, you know, would get like punched, and then so we didn't get punched, so that's good, but it's a very common thing that they're just people there
that fucking suck.
Just suck.
Yeah, so that kind of sucked. You guys, we're supposed to do this like tour the next day, which Bailey, you took one for the team and went with everyone on the tour.
6:30 in the morning. That was very early.
Yeah. And then the next day after that, you guys left. And then mom and dad and I all had like a cute little trip after that because it was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And I know that there was actually kind of a lot of people who were asking me because I was really confused about the whole my phone was stolen in another country thing. Like, what do I do? What are the steps I need to take? A lot of people were like, please let me know what you're supposed to do in this situation. So I'm just going to say, if that happens, you need to put your phone, log into your Apple ID, go to your Find My iPhone, and you need to mark it as like put it in like lost mode and then put it in erase mode. And do not, you'll have an option. It'll say, if this phone is connected to the internet, do you want to put in a phone number? So that phone number will be alerted like, hey, this old phone has been connected to the internet, blah, blah, blah. Do not ever put a phone number in there. And then there's a second option. You can put a message. So when I put it as erase mode, the message I put was this phone is stolen. And so when someone connects it, that's what the message is going to say. And then people have already started like reaching out to me to try to get back into my Apple ID because what they want is to erase my to reset my phone to factory settings so they can sell it. Do not disconnect your phone from your Apple ID because that's how they will be able to, you know, get in and unlock everything. So good luck.
So what you're saying is that if your phone is not taken out of lost mode, they can't erase it?
So So what I did, I first put it as lost mode and then I put it in erase mode. So, oh, okay. So what that means is like the person who took it, like turned off the phone. Mm-hmm. So they can't get in without my password or my face ID. Mm-hmm. Right. But they can hack it, whatever. But if it's in erase mode, when they do get it open and if whatever, when they're connected to the internet, it will just erase all of the contents of my phone.
Oh, okay.
And so the only way you can get back into it is if you have my Apple ID, email, and password.
Got it.
So that's what they'll text you because they are able to get the phone number that's associated to it. And so they'll text you pretending to be Apple, mm-hmm. and saying like, we were alerted that this phone, like an iPhone 14, whatever, has been stolen. Like, can you confirm this? And so if you respond to the message, you're screwed. So don't ever respond. And if you click one of the links in the message, they will automatically be able to get into your Apple ID. So,
well, there you go.
Do not click on anything. Do not respond. I had already talked to Apple and Verizon and they were like, they flagged everything that they needed to flag on their end. And they were like, we will not be sending you these types of messages. So if you're getting them, it's not us. Like, don't mm-hmm. do anything. So yeah, just don't remove the device from your Apple ID. Don't click on anything and make sure you put it in erase mode. So when they are, my phone's currently in Morocco. So
isn't that wild?
What?
Yes, it's in Morocco. And it's so weird because we could see where the phone was going.
Uh-huh.
And so Paige and I woke up and we were like, we're going to go find this fucking phone.
Yeah. And then Angie was like, you're not. Look, yeah, yeah, you're not.
Our friend is like a badass. And she was like, look, you're not doing that. Like, and it really didn't make any sense because we saw it was at like an apartment building and like who knows what fucking place it was going to be in. And Paris is already sketchy. Like, it didn't make sense for us to die for a phone.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things, now this is going to be a segue. One of the biggest things that happened in, while I was in Paris was,
and I didn't have my phone.
And Paige didn't have her phone. And it was actually happening at a motherfucking Bears game.
I know.
Is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce
made their relationship very public.
Very public. I was shocked. I was with mom and dad and I was like, oh my God. Because we were 7 hours ahead. So like we were getting all the news like so much later. And I'm like, Taylor Swift at the Chicago Bears Kansas City game. And dad's like, what? And I was like, this is so funny that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce chose to make their relationship very, very public when he's playing the Bears. Because mm-hmm. he was probably like, okay, which game do I want her to come to make me look the best? We're going to do it against the Bears. Mm-hmm. And we say that as Bears fans, obviously.
Right.
But, okay, so now this is, she's been to what, 4 games? Because today we're recording, it's Sunday. And she just came to the, who are they playing right now?
I knew that. The Chargers.
Okay. But they're in Kansas City because we just saw Taylor Swift. Okay. And I want to ask your guys' opinions on this because we got pictures.
I was fucking right. It is the Chargers. Wow. I am amazing.
So Taylor Swift was at Travis Kelce's house pre-gaming before, or we don't know if she was pre-gaming, but she's just like watching the other games with members of Travis's family, other people. Somebody posted a picture. It's some like old football legend. He posted a picture of him and Taylor. So we knew Taylor was at Travis Kelce's house because the guy was literally like, I'm at Travis Kelce's house. So here's my question. Like, okay, obviously Taylor is in Kansas City. Is she staying at Travis's house? Is she staying at a hotel? It makes more sense that she would be at Travis's house because I think it would be a logistical nightmare to go from like hotel to house to whatever. But it's like, okay, is she at the stage in the relationship where she's like, okay, I have the keys, guys. We're getting in the bus to go to the game. I'm going to lock up. Or like, who's locking up the house?
Maybe it's a keypad situation.
Okay. But like, but you still kind of have to have a sweeper who's like getting everyone in. And it's usually like the girlfriend.
No, because they're ushering her into the car
right
before the car exits the gate. And then there's somebody who's going to be, okay, you know, everyone's out. Let me just, you know, make sure the windows are closed, the doors are locked. That's not her. Yeah.
But not because...
But I also think that Taylor likes cosplaying as, like, a normal girly. So I think she, like, probably, like, is like, okay, I'm going to lock up. And then they have someone who's actually, like, walking behind her, like, actually locking up because she's, like...
No, okay, she's superstar. Not incompetent. Like, if she's...
It's just a, like, pretend keypad.
Yeah, she's yeah, not she's pretending, like, to lock up.
She's, like, doing the key motion, like, improvising.
Okay, you're insane. No, that's... She's just not doing it because... She's got other things to do and someone else has to lock up behind her.
I know, but I really do think that she likes, I think, first of all, I think this relationship is really good for her. And I think that she likes feeling normal. Like, yeah. She says that in all of her, like, behind the scenes, any sort of, like, nugget we get from Taylor, she likes cosplaying as a normal girly, but she also is well aware she's not a normal girly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which is why I think she, like, really likes hanging out with Brittany Mahomes and the girlies. Like, I think she, like, likes having that connection to, like, real life. Because I think that's also very, like, it will inspire more shit for her.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, there's something that I said that was, okay, can we talk about her style? Who the fuck is styling Taylor Swift? Do you think a Taylor is styling Taylor?
No, I think that she has a stylist 100%, and I think that the stylist is going to be like, okay, this is what I think you should be wearing right now, and Taylor's going to be like, this is the vibe I'm feeling right now, so I'm going to choose XYZ, and then, you know, she gets it.
I think it's very interesting to me because it is such normal girl style. Like, the other day, she was wearing this crocheted top. It's from H&M. She's wearing a lot of Free People right now. She's wearing a lot of really hideous shoes that only some... It looks like somebody had, like, four shoe options in their closet, aka me, and then, like, that's the shoe. That's the only shoe she has.
Which shoes are ugly?
Every single shoe she owns is ugly. Look at all of her shoes. It's not great.
What about her, like, black combat boots?
You like those?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Probably because you literally have the same exact ones as those.
Fine.
I just, like, okay, it's fine for you and me because, like, who the fuck are we? But, like, she's the most relevant, famous person in the world.
What would you rather her wear?
Anything. I've heard celebrities talk that they intentionally choose clothes that are, like, affordable and available and people can know where they're from because they don't want to have other people like us, plebeians, just... Being like, I can never, like, so do that. I can never.
Well, that's why I think it might be a marketing ploy. Because okay, I think also, that she likes to be, like, relatable.
Yeah.
But let's just be a little honest here. Like, maybe in your, I don't know what you're doing in your line of work. But, like, in our line of work, a lot of things are still just, like, not that affordable. Like, we're not going to, like, what she's wearing. It's like, oh, she was wearing, like, this skirt that's, like, $298. It's like. Yeah, like,
she's Taylor fucking Swift.
I know, but it's like, that's still like, we are not buying that skirt. Well, you know what I mean? But it's like, I'm gonna buy a knockoff, and you better believe I have several items in my closet that are inspired by Taylor Swift's last year and this year wardrobe. No.
Yes. We cannot be like, Taylor Swift cannot be our style icon.
Too bad. You can have whoever you want as your style icon.
I'm just like, she should just be, like, I think all of her, like, tour outfits are pretty cool.
But what if she doesn't have a stylist and she's just choosing this on her own?
So well, that's the most probable cause. Okay. That's the most probable, like,
so,
situation.
Why do you care?
Because it's, like, it's Taylor Swift and it's fun to talk about.
I think she looks good.
She looks good right now. This is a good era for her, but I'm just saying, like.
So why are you complaining if she looks good?
Because it's like, it's Taylor Swift. It's like, I want to talk about everything she's doing.
What would make you happy for her? Like, what type?
For her to look good.
But, like, so what does that mean? You just said she looked good.
I think she looks good, but I want her to, I want to, like, push the boundaries. Like, but here's what I think. Here's my actual, like, thought of why she looks the way she looks. Is because she looks great, but she doesn't look like, oh my God, like, style icon Taylor Swift. But, like, can she be everything? And should she be? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, like, I think that she views, like, clothes as just, like,
things to cover up her private parts.
Right. Like, I think that she doesn't view it as, like, this
thing. I think she's so artistic in so many other aspects of her life. And she's like such like a cerebral person. Like she lives in her head. Like her head is like where all the magic happens, that I don't think like there's enough energy. Like you can't, God is fair. Like you cannot be the most genius songwriter of all time, one of the best pop stars that our generation and probably multiple generations has ever seen, and a style icon. Like it just like it can't all be true for her.
Do you think you'd be happier if she like fully Steve Jobbed it and just wore the same thing every day so it would free up her mind?
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, because she kind of is Steve's jobbing it though. Like,
no, I mean, her style, if she like made that clear, like would that be easier for you to palette, be okay with?
Yeah. It'd be like palatable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Okay. You know what? It's like, who the fuck am I? Like, look at what I'm wearing. I look like shit.
Well, I think I'm also just like confused because someone who I think a lot of people do think is a style icon is Kim Kardashian, right? Mm-hmm. And like almost never have I looked at Kim Kardashian's outfits. I see her. I'm like, she's beautiful. I think she wears things that work for her. Never would I be like, wow, I want to wear that sweatsuit.
Okay,
I want to wear that like one piece silicone thing.
But
like,
she's not trying to sell.
But that's not Kim's thing. Kim is like trying to push the envelope as like a tastemaker. So like, I think a more reasonable person to compare what I would like to see Taylor in is like Morgan Stewart. I think Morgan Stewart has fantastic style. Where,
but that's like what she cares about.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't matter that like Taylor isn't the style icon, but like, I'm not going to stop talking about her poor shoe choices.
Well, here's the thing. It just sounds like you're such a hater.
No, you are just such a blind Swifty that any like thing that you're, any like sort of tension you're met with, you immediately see Taylor hater.
Do you think it sounds like she's a hater? It sounds like she's expecting Taylor to be perfect in every aspect of her life.
No.
But then if she was perfect in every, she'd be like, yeah, no, it's, she's not doing that on her own, obviously.
Well, also, I think what Jade is saying is that she wants to dissect like all the things that Taylor's doing, and it would be almost boring to just talk about everything that Taylor's good at, because it's,
yeah,
everything.
But her style is not bad right now. Like, what do you mean?
But it's also Jade was saying that
if we're gonna talk about everything about Taylor Swift, she's gonna have an opinion about it, and
because she's judgmental,
and every Swiftie wants to talk about everything that she does, and so we think that what she wears, which everyone's already talking about what she's wearing anyway, because it's like black, blue, whatever.
Yeah, she wants us to talk about her style. Like, she literally tells us, like, I put Easter eggs in my style. So that's what I'm saying. But another thing I wanted to talk about is that Blake Shelton gave a speech at Gwen Stefani's star ceremony, the Hollywood Walk of Fame star. Did you guys see it?
No. I didn't see it, but I saw that it brought a Gwen tear to tears.
Okay, well, I shared it on my story, and I was, like, crying watching it. And it was so sweet because he was like, when I first met Gwen, she rolled up to the set in a black minivan. And I was like, oh, my God, like, this woman's a mom. Like, she takes a lot of pride in being a mom. And he's like, I can tell you after getting to know her better, like, that is the number one thing that she is. She's a mom. And, like, he was just saying, like, the best things about her. And I just, like, love their relationship. And I didn't think, like, when you think of them together, it just, like, feels like it doesn't go.
Yeah.
But, like, that's kind of how I think Travis and Taylor might be.
I disagree.
Okay, wait, so do we need to get into your thoughts on Travis and Taylor?
No, I agree with Travis and Taylor. I love that. I think it's a very weird and not accurate comparison to say Gwen and Blake are like Travis and Taylor. That is what I don't get. I think Gwen and Blake are lovely together. I absolutely do. And I think Taylor and Travis make so much sense together. But I think that, like, that saying, like, oh, this pairing is like, you would never see these two together, and here they are, and it's and like, it's working.
I'm sorry, seeing Taylor Swift, the biggest star in the world, with a football player, that's like, I love it for her because I feel like it like keeps her like connected and grounded to like the people. But like, her dating a football player is, no offense like to Travis, beneath her.
But it's like, they're both like tall hotties at the top of their game.
But it's like, it's two opposite like people. Like, she is not Travis's type and he is not her type.
Okay.
So it's like very like, look at, you can't compare like Miranda to Gwen. like Blake has always historically been with like super country girls. Gwen has always been with like very like musician, like grungy guys, like the guy in her band, the guy, Gavin, what the fuck? I was about to say Gavin Rothschild, but it's Gavin. What is his fucking name?
Gavin DeGraw. Roth?
Gavin.
No, not Gavin DeGraw. The guy from Beck or Bush, whatever. Anyways,
Spinner.
So anyways, I just feel like it's giving the same energy where it's like two people that are kind of like in different, like such different like planes that like it works because they're able to kind of like see the other one's like shit that they're doing as like super cool.
Okay.
It's a podcast, think, so you have to talk.
Yeah, I think just the comparison nod. Makes sense, actually.
Thank you.
They're both in the music industry.
But one's in country and one is like in like rock/pop. Like there's no crossover between Blake and Gwen ever. And the when voice. They have, but when they have done crossovers, it's like kind of weird. Like it doesn't make sense. Like it doesn't sound good.
I think that I love that it makes sense to you.
Okay.
You know?
Well, we also have some other things that we need to talk about. That I FaceTime Paige on, what day was it? Was it Thursday?
I don't know. What day is it today?
It's Sunday.
Sunday.
It might have been Thursday.
I FaceTimed you and I go, guess who is getting a divorce? And she said, oh my God, don't say it. And I said, it's one of your girls. She goes, not Maren. And I said, it's Maren. Because that has been like the last like true relationship that you have kind of held on to, I think.
Well, and because that was not only the last little country relationship I was holding on to, but it was full 100% real. Like it was so real, and I thought that they were so endgame that
I know.
I'm shocked.
I was completely blindsided by
it. I'm shocked. I'm sad.
All I have to say is that I don't care what happened in this relationship, what went down, like I'm going to probably be blindly team Maren.
Oh, I mean, obviously.
But it's like, I don't even know if it's like something bad on her. For some reason, it's not giving her her doing. But even if it wasn't, like team Maren.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like always going to be team Maren. That's fine. I really hope, what I really, really, really hope, I'm just going to say, maybe I'm going to sound stupid. I do not know Ryan Hurd, but like I feel like I do. And I do not think that he is the type of man who would cheat on her, but maybe.
I think he cheated on his last girlfriend to be with her.
Damn it, really?
Yes.
And also, like, there's no kind of person that's going to cheat. It's just things happen, and there's truly, quite literally, no need for us to take a side to be team Why? Whomever.
Why not? Why can't I take a side?
You can, team but Maren. There's no need. You know, like.
Okay, so you're saying if, you know, let's say I did something bad in a breakup, you wouldn't take my side?
I'm saying that I would still be on your side because you're my sister that I know, but I don't know Maren. And I also don't think that it's like, I don't think Maren's the kind of person who would cheat on someone, or I don't think Ryan Hurd's the kind of person who would cheat on someone.
Because I'm just saying, like, that is typically like what we see the most in the headlines. Like, someone cheated on someone and now they're getting a divorce. Like, and right. I didn't think that was going to be the reason. I thought it was going to be more so because, like, honestly, I see a better argument that he just isn't. Maybe, I guess the better word is like jealous or something. Like, yeah, like it's hard for him to.
Well, it's the Carly Pierce effect. It's the Kelsey Ballerini effect. Now it's the Maren Morris effect. Like, these women are such like strong powerhouse, like country singers married to other country singers who just like, we don't know, but it kind of seems like there's a common theme here that they can't fucking handle it.
And that's what it is. And it's like, and I do like Ryan's music. It's just
not as good as Maren.
It's just not as good. And like, he's not, it just seems like she's doing more. Like, she's doing more to like put her music out there to be seen. So,
you mean like a woman's working harder to get like more or like.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And honestly, I'm not.
Well said. Thank you.
Like, with the whole Kelsey and Morgan of it all, it's like, that's just embarrassing. Like, that what? He even keeps like trying, honestly.
No, like Morgan Evans. Imagine being so. Okay, segue. We went to ACL. And Paige and I went to see Morgan Wade because obviously we wanted to see Kyle Richards. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we are literally just there to get a glimpse of Kyle Richards. I mean, Morgan Wade is good. We have a lot of notes for her.
She sounded amazing.
Yeah. But there was like, she needs like a little extra like spark, like a sparker. Well, and
personally, I think like a little like crowd conversation would go a long way.
A little crowd conversation, throw in a cover. You made that point, which I thought I was feeling the same thing. Like you need to kind of like, because we're all just standing there. We're like, oh, this person sounds good. None of us know the songs. But you need to like connect with the crowd a little bit. Like even when we saw Pink last year, she did so many covers. Mm-hmm. And it was so fucking good. It like felt like you were at a live show.
And it just it re-excites the crowd. So it's like you can listen to somebody and it's like, wow, okay, like they're really good. But I can only get so into it because I still don't know these songs. But if you just end the song with like, maybe even 30 seconds or less of a cover that everyone knows.
What was the one that you thought?
It was like, I think it was like Pearl Jam or something.
Oh, no, it was Antihero.
Oh, no, what I said that she Karma. Should do is Karma.
Yeah.
I said, because there was a song that was either called Karma or she was saying Karma a lot in her song. And I was like, now what she should have done is at the very end of that song went into Taylor Swift's Karma. And because that would have been the vibe. Like the people who were there... Everybody, we're back. I spilled wine all over Jade, all over the chair.
But you honestly can't even tell. You just missed like a little part right here. But Dawn Powerwash, honestly takes out the wine.
Yeah.
So anyways, what were we saying?
Bailey? Paige was very passionate about artists doing something. That was why she was gesturing wildly.
Because the Foo Fighters had Shania Twain.
And it was just amazing. Like that was amazing. Respecting artists.
We love when artists respect artists. But also, can we talk about like the way I felt at Atlantis? The way I felt at Atlantis, like I cried at Atlantis. Like,
so did I. We all did, I think.
She was so good.
She was so good. She made me feel something. I think I just expected to feel at Shania the way I felt at Dixie Chicks.
You were just confused by the wig.
The chicks.
No, I wasn't. The wig didn't bother me. Oh. It was the choice of her set list.
See, her set list didn't bother me.
Her set list bothered me a lot.
I know.
It bothered me too.
It did?
Talk about wanting to do like connect with the crowd, have a cover. Not, I don't think she even needs a cover.
She doesn't need a cover to sing her fucking song.
She wanted to connect a little too much with the crowd, in my opinion.
Honey.
Yeah, she was like, she made us do a lot of crowd work. And it's like, okay, when we saw the Dixie Chicks, they started out with Sin Wagon. The Chicks. They started out with Sin Wagon, which was such a good one because it's just like a powerhouse song. Like they had this like, montage of like their whole career. It got you like super fired up. It got them like, it got you like in the mood to see the Chicks. Then they came out with Sin Wagon, which is just like such a fucking banger. And then they did like their songs. And then some of them were songs that were like newer songs that weren't just like, you know, they didn't have like a lot of like soul connection to them for me personally. But then they came in and like ended it the last like hour of the show or however long with all of their hits. Shania starts out with Up. Now Up is like, sure, Up is a hit to Shania. It is not a banger to start out a fucking festival with. Like I need, don't play the song, but just like get everyone like excited.
All I really wanted was fiddles.
That I wanted it to be like
at the end of every song there was a beat and Paige would turn and say fiddles. She's like, it's gonna be this one.
Fiddles. I just thought that would be so cool if it was like, because you know the people, they're coming out, like the techs are coming out to make sure like all of the amps are on, everything's good, like okay, these lights work, whatever. So you know, and then it goes black and then they come up, right? So it's like if it was black and then you just hear fiddles, like I would have lost my freaking mind.
No, but she needed a banger to, and I don't think Up is a banger. It's like, up, 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 you can only get, it just like, it didn't hit. But
here's the reason why it didn't bother me. You're comparing it to the Chicks, right?
I'm comparing it to every other show.
But the thing is
that I've ever seen
Shania has, this was not a hits Shania show, okay?
But it should have been for a festival.
What do you mean it's not a hit Shania show? She's not like putting out new songs, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then give us the hits. You're Shania Twain. Like, we want the hits.
She, I also think, is not at a place in her career right now where she's able to just be like super, super flexible with everything. Her set list. Like the choreography, everything was very routine, and that this is what she's doing on other shows.
To play devil's advocate, the Chicks were on a tour during ACL last year too,
but the Chicks had a really big hiatus, okay? So there's a lot less music to go through than there is with Shania.
They had a longer sabbatical than we did.
The Chicks
had a longer sabbatical. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I had such high hopes for Shania, especially, like, I had high hopes going into it, but then especially after seeing Alanis, I was like, these are two of the people, like, honestly, 1995, that year, for me, was Alanis, Shania, then Bailey Brown.
I was going to say another really important thing.
Happened to me in 1995, and that's when my sister was born.
And it was chronologically and by importance
in the order. Actually, I think it was
Alanis.
It was probably Spice Girls, Alanis, Shania, then Bailey.
Yeah.
No offense.
No, we just didn't know you yet.
No, honestly, Spice Girls consumed our entire world. Like,
yeah.
We were obsessed.
Why is it so hard to find that movie?
Spice World?
It's so hard to...
It was on Netflix.
Really?
It was.
I know it was on Amazon.
It was, but now it's... I was trying to watch it. Kind of recently, like in the last couple years, and it was such so hard to find.
That movie is such a banger. That is one of the best movies of our childhood by far.
One of my favorite scenes is, so it's right after the come on, come on, and then the alien scene
because where he grabs the boob.
It doesn't fit, but it's so funny.
Well, the whole movie is just so like wacky, and it's just like, it's such a fun movie for kids, especially like all five of their personalities are so different and they really play into that. And as kids, like, you just love characters. And then like when they would dress up as the other person, and when they dressed up as like other like famous people like Marilyn Monroe and like Twiggy and all of that, like that was such an iconic scene. When they did like the army scene was
I really love the army scene.
We loved the army scene.
And I loved the restaurant scene. Like it was like where they first like kind of like got together mm-hmm. when it was like all closed and they're like, this is what we want to do. And then they sing like Wannabe. Like
the throwback scene.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, every part of that movie was just like perfectly made for girls who are obsessed with Spice Girls.
But you know what scene I did not like?
What?
The boat scene.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were scared. It was too stressful.
Well, it was stressful, and it was kind of like annoying to watch like other girls living your dream hanging out with the Spice Girls.
And they're like screaming because it's like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but that movie is a 10 out of 10. Have you guys seen Beckham?
Not yet. No.
You have to see Beckham. It's so good. It just like took me back to like how big the Spice Girls were. I was watching it with Mr. Roberts last night, and he was like, oh my God, like they've been together since like 1996. I was like, yeah, they've been together forever. They were showing this like clip of her at one of his games, and they were like, Victoria Adams was there. I was like, oh my God, I forgot her name was Victoria Adams. Like,
I was just about to say, who's Victoria Adams?
But it's like so funny because she is so Victoria Beckham. Like,
well, and with the Spice Girls, she was only Victoria.
Victoria. I'm like, sorry, I have to do this.
It was either an initial, but it was mainly like a first name.
Jerry. Baby. Mel B, Mel C, and Victoria.
Yeah.
It's like funny that like Emma was never actually Emma.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so should we do some sister stories?
I think we should do at least one.
Yeah.
Because guys, there's still so much that we do need to catch you up on, and we will. We just need a couple episodes to do it. Come on, come on. Come on, come on.
Okay.
Come on, come on, come on.
You wanna be in my gang, my gang. Like, where is that song?
I know. You wanna be in my gang. Oh, yeah.
Taylor Swift's album is coming out this week as well.
I know, we're getting new Vault songs. I'm gonna lose my mind. These Vault songs are gonna slap so fucking hard.
Because you think Harder Than Red?
Yes, 1989 was such a banger. It really changed the game. The reason it's not my favorite album is because most of those songs were just so overplayed on the radio that it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. But these new songs are gonna be amazing.
I honestly think that even though like Blank Space is one of the most like overplayed songs ever, like I really don't get tired of Blank Space.
It's really exciting every time it comes on.
I know.
No matter what you're doing.
It's like Cruel Summer. Like I kind of can't get tired of Cruel Summer.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten tired of Cruel Summer. Bailey and I were talking earlier today about Blank Space, about 1989, because I was like, do you remember? Because that was the first album that I really, really, really wanted to learn the harmonies to like every song. So I would force, so if I want to learn a harmony to a song, I force Bailey to sing the lead. Mm-hmm. And so I would be like,
my arm, you know,
I'm like, let's do it again.
No, I hate
from the top.
I hated, you guys kind of made me like turn me off to 1989 solely from the song I no, you guys sang it constantly
because it's so
good. Run into the house and like the first thing you would do would be turning on that,
because it's so good. And then Bailey reminded me that
was like one of the main like road trip songs. If we would road trip 3.5 hours to mom and dad's house, but we would play the whole album and talk about what we'd be doing. So if it was All I Had to Do Was Stay, you know that song? Okay, so Bailey's gonna be in a box and you're not gonna see her, and Paige is gonna be up and she's gonna be singing, and then once it says stay, like I would like pop out of the box. Like have we had like stage directions for all of the songs.
So it sounds like we might need to film one of our little choreographed dances.
It sounds like you guys need to get in touch with Taylor, because she has some production notes that she needs to take. She should get in a box.
Okay. Anyways, I'm really excited for it. So
do you want to read us a story?
Yeah. Okay. This is an advice.
Okay.
Do you guys feel particularly wise right now?
I feel 100% ready to advise.
Okay, good. Hey, sisters.
Hi.
I'm looking for some advice about a girl who definitely does not like me.
Ooh.
So I'm in college and have a friend group of girls and guys. One of the guys got this girlfriend a few months ago, and I can tell she really doesn't like me. She's always texting the other girls and says hello and goodbye to them, but she never talks to me unless I go up to her and try to have a conversation. Many other people have even asked me what I did to offend the new girl, because it's obvious she is not a fan of me. I asked the other girls in the group what I could have done, and they are just as unsure as I am. I genuinely cannot think of one thing that I could have done. I've tried making plans with her to hang out to get to know each other better, but she never follows through. So what do you guys think I should do? Thanks.
Okay, this person just like doesn't like you, and there's no need to try to like force yourself on them. The best plan of action you can do is just keep living your life, having fun, being you, and hopefully she'll come around. And if she doesn't, that's like on her. But like you kind of are in like a good power position, because like you are in the group because you're friends with everyone. Like she's only in the group because that's her boyfriend's friends.
Yeah, the more attention you give it and the more life you breathe into it is only going to make it a thing. If it's just I'm hanging out with my friends and this girl is here and she's welcome, then cool. But if it's like, oh my gosh, Sarah is never talking to Jane, and then it's a thing, then
yeah,
just it becomes more of a big deal.
Yeah, and it sounds like obviously you care, because why does this girl not like you? But to Jade's point, it's like you don't need to care that much. You're not doing anything. If anything, you're going out of your way to try to hang out with this person to see what's going, you know, to try to get to know her better. She just doesn't like you, and that happens. And I think that you just need to do what Jade's saying. Like, you're hanging out with your friends. You're not going out of your way to make her feel uncomfortable. And
yeah, I would definitely not go out of your way in any way. I wouldn't be like going out of your way to like be mean or to be nice. I think I would just like let it be. And then if she talks to you, you acknowledge it. Like if it makes sense for you to address her, like address her.
But yeah, like, if it feels right, then you can say like, hey, like, I feel like we're not as close as the other girls. Like, is there a reason why?
I personally would kind of like let it sit for a little bit.
No, I agree. I'm saying if there's a perfect situation and
yeah,
you're itching.
Well, this actually reminds me of something that happened to me back in the day. One of my guy friends had a girlfriend at the time and they were always around and she just like would never acknowledge me. She fucking hated me. She did not want to be around me. It's because she thought that like I was like had something to do with like maybe like a past girl he had like, I don't know, had a dalliance with. And so I was just like the symbol of that to her. Like, even though I didn't do it, I was just like the symbol of it. And I just like took my time. I was patient. Eventually she came around and now she's like one of my very closest friends. So it's like,
remember when I went to visit BB? Mm-hmm. Like, that girl loves him. Like, that girl likes him so much. So she was never going to give me the time of day. You know what I mean? Because I was there visiting him. So that could be.
In that situation, you were our listener.
Exactly. So yeah. I'm saying this girl. Wait, hold on. What am I saying?
No, that situation, you were the listener. And then like the girl wasn't going to give you the time of day. But like you could still apply it to no matter what situation you're in.
Oh, I think my whole point is like, what if this girl thinks that she, like, that our listener is like
a threat.
She's a threat, or she liked him or something, or that like whatever that may be. It's like,
that's the only thing I can truly think of, that why this person wouldn't like you, because like why would she care if she's friends with all the other girls? Like, she either like has made up something in her mind, like maybe you're like super fucking hot. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are. Mm-hmm. So,
or what if your her boyfriend, what if she's like, oh, have you ever like dated any of your friends? And he's like, no, but like I always had a crush on like that one or whatever.
Yeah, like you don't know what he's told her. So she's probably the only reason why girls usually act like that is from some sort of like insecurity. And it's based off of like usually a guy making you insecure. Like, I feel like rarely at that age do you just like go after a girl for no reason. Like, it's always like because of a fucking guy.
Especially if she's friends with all of the other girls.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So I think you give her a little grace because like she is, we've all been there. We've all like felt
and she's
a little
insecure
about like another girl because like a guy has kind of made that situation feel insecure. Sorry to blame the guys, but like it's usually their fault. And so us women, we need to like start thinking like in this like high level way where it's like, oh, okay, like let's give each other like a little bit of grace on both sides. Like, you're, that girl needs to be giving you a little bit of grace because you obviously don't know what's going on and there's probably like something going on.
Yeah, I agree.
It has been such a delight to be back. I feel like this is kind of like, you know, back to like our OG days. Like, we were giggling, we were laughing, we were talking through our fights. So we have some exciting things hopefully in the works for us. So you know what to do. Please, you know what? Now more than ever, we need you to truly share this episode with your friends. Just like take your friend's phone, play this episode. You don't even need to subscribe for them. Just like play this episode. Like, all we need to do is play the episodes. And
if you listen to it once, you can listen to it twice.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you're listening to it once on Apple, you can listen to it on Spotify or YouTube or whatever. There's three different ways you can listen to us each week. Mm-hmm. So rate us 5 stars or, you know, give us a 4-star.
Nope,
you know?
5.
Okay, 5. And then make sure you're subscribed. You're following Your Poor Dad Pod on TikTok and Instagram. And
write into us. YourPoorDad@gmail.com.
And anything that you've ever wanted to tell your sister, if you wish you had a sister, anything embarrassing, anything funny, anything you wish, like, oh my God, was this a weird interaction that I had or not?
Yeah. And we'll be there to tell you if it's a weird interaction or not, just the way we would tell each other. But like, the thing is, when you tell your sister, it's like you have like, it's easier to tell somebody that is your sister because then you can like laugh about it. And then it's like, you can all move on together.
Yeah, because it's like, no matter what you say, you know that they're still stuck with you in the end.
Yeah, like, even better for you, you're anonymous. We can just laugh with you
right
through it.
And it's like, when I do something that's so embarrassing, you guys are the first people I tell, because it just like kind of like makes it less like, it like brings it down a notch mm-hmm. in the embarrassing scale, because then we can all laugh about it and it's like we all know about it. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But
all right. Okay. So yourpoordad@gmail.com.
Oh yeah.
Yourpoordadpod on Instagram.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. You did it.
Do that. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.